The title of today's talk is Why Hard to Get? Well, I have read many accounts of near-death experiences or out-of-body experiences where a person is looking down at their body in a situation and they see that their body is in difficulty and should be suffering, but they're in another frequency altogether and feeling just fine floating above their body or in light or even being in touch with souls on another dimension. And this happens if they fall off a cliff or they're in surgery and they're near death or whatever, and they see this event of themselves being in another dimension of some format or another. And it usually is accompanied by the experience of light and transcendent love qualities. Which would make you think, well, that would be all right. Maybe if I have a real accident or I'm real sick or something like that, I might be able to get out of it and experience something else. What they report is when they left their body, the sense of spirit and love beyond normal concept is existent. That it's beyond just normal, daily, quote, what you might call love. It's a love beyond the normal human love. And they have a clear connection with the fact that it's existent when they come back to their body. Now, they don't remain in that connection most of the time. It's a memory. And they live from the memory of it because it was so astounding. And that happens also when someone has a special awakening to an understanding of something. They have it momentarily, but what remains with them is the halo memory. They're not in the experience, and they're not experiencing the same thing, but they have the halo memory of it. What's difficult for human beings who haven't had that experience is to believe in that experience. And the other thing that's difficult is to know that when these people return to their norm, quote, consciousness, that they suddenly understand what the masters throughout time have been talking about. That they are a soul. That they have been a soul all along, but have not been in touch with it. And after they return, they're not really in touch with their soul either. But they're very clear that they are and do have a soul. And oftentimes, they begin to actively and consciously pursue their identity with connected soul. So if we're born with a soul, and everyone, quote, quote, has one, why is it hidden from the cognitive, ego, body, mind? Why would it be hidden from awareness? Why is it so difficult to connect with? Why is enlightenment such a difficult transition training? Simply put, if it is not difficult, it is not appreciated by the ego, body, mind. Simply not appreciated. It's like, why do we as human beings pursue difficult things with the idea that there will be a reward if we can do it? Climb Mount Everest. That used to be a big deal. There was only a handful of people that ever climbed Mount Everest. Now they have to have standing line in police directing fist fights and things like that, because the number of people who are ascending Mount Everest. But the challenge was, back in the old days, the idea that we could go to the South Pole. Well, take a plane and you're at the South Pole. Take a boat and you're at the North Pole. Whatever. Getting the gold medal at the Olympics. Why would someone pay all the money, spend all the energy, put all the difficulty into the family affording the training to get a child or a friend or a person to the Olympics? Or Wimbledon, or golf championship, or football heroes, whatever. Piano, violin, acting, the challenge is, and tonight there's gonna be the Oscars and there will be all these people parading and dancing and doing all their thing. And for the award, of something difficult to achieve. The ego, body, mind does not value things that are not difficult to achieve. Period. So attuning to the spirit the way the masters have come to help us do is difficult because it's simple. It's difficult because it's simple. I didn't say easy, I said simple. The idea that having a loving, open heart is what is required to get us towards enlightenment, connection to the soul, just doesn't ring. It doesn't ring as difficult. Therefore, it must not be important. Being joyful is something you personally, at any moment, can choose to be. So why would that be valuable to enlightenment? To relax at any moment. You can choose to relax, but you don't. The fact that the very simplest, most relaxing, joyful experiences of life are simple, put them in a place where they're not valued. Just simply don't value. And yet, in the Declaration of Independence, we say the pursuit of happiness. We want to be able to pursue happiness. And we are willing to go to war and die for it. And yet, if you have an opportunity for it, you don't pursue it. The opportunity is for a country like the United States to have a Declaration of Independence that says to be able to pursue happiness. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness is an inalienable right. And yet, those among us want to take it away. And those among us don't even value it. And therefore, it's easy to take away. Your attunement to soul is an inalienable right that you don't pursue. Because it's too simplistic. It sounds too simplistic. Relax, relax, relax. Get out of your sympathetic nervous system, fight and flight, and get into relaxation, the parasympathetic nervous system, and the vagus nerve system. You can sit in your living room and think about war and get all uptight. You can sit in your living room and think about politics and get all uptight. And you're in your living room in a perfectly comfortable chair, having a perfectly comfortable cup of coffee, and you are not comfortable. You are tense. You're upset. You're frustrated. Why do you choose that? Why does the ego mind choose tension thoughts? It's pathological to the container. You don't want to get out of the container ideas. You are stuck in the container ego mind body because you identify with it. You've been conditioned. And yet, you could just as easily, well, easily, simply choose to relax. But you don't. You choose not cognitively, but unconsciously. You choose to remain tense so that what you experience experience, what you call up, is the reservoir of everything attached to the frequencies of tension. If you're relaxed, you don't call them up. If you're tense, you call up what is stored in tension. So why is enlightenment difficult? Because we're pathologically addicted to the difficulty, to the tension. And why would, let's say, soul or God power, creator, put us in a difficult vehicle so that when you get through being attached to it, you find out you didn't need to be attached at all. That it was always a simple thing. But the simple thing is hard. Hard because you are enthralled with your body experiences, your five senses, your history of five senses interpretation, what you heard from elders and others over and over and over and over again. Every phrase in your vocabulary is borrowed from other people. You don't have an original thought or phrase in your body. Not in your ego body. It's all copycat. So, until you're willing to realize that the separation that people have experienced in out-of-body experiences or near-death experiences, when they always come back with the same program, light, love, joy, connectedness, universal love. But once they're back from the experience itself, it doesn't remain experiential, it turns into a memory. And that memory is either valued and pursued and brings them to a competent teaching teacher that can help them reconnect cognitively, consciously, that they are in the pursuit of changing their relationship to their biological ego memory to this other memory that seems to be able to separate from the body and come back into the body. So why is it difficult? Because we don't value that which is not difficult. A tiny child values being able to put a round peg in a round hole. And he gets praise for it. Oh, that was wonderful, dear, you did a great job. Parents and teachers are there on the sidelines encouraging them to do something that is difficult. The violin teacher teaching the student how to play the violin. The violin maker, Stradivarius, was teaching his, let's say, apprentices how to make a wonderful violin. He didn't just throw the boards down and say, put it together and see how you do. It difficult to make a good violin, cello. It's difficult to make a good flute. It's difficult to raise a good crop. It's difficult to raise a child. It's difficult to be an Olympic skater. It's difficult to be a champion golfer. It's difficult. And that's where all the rewards go. Mastery of difficult. And so if you didn't think enlightenment was difficult, you wouldn't pursue it. And you don't, because the actual disciplines are simple. They're so simple, they're not practiced. Because the subconscious mind doesn't value that which is not difficult. Crazy making, right? And it's been that way all through written history. All through written history. So, you may have an epiphany. And it dawns on you, and I mean dawns, it comes in a flash of light, as it did to Saul on the road to Damascus. He was struck blind with the light of Christ. He was on the way to Damascus to kill followers of Christ. And he could think of nothing but that, you know, that son of a gun. Oh, suddenly it was the Son of God. He changed in a flash from being a son of a gun to being the Son of God. He saw him in the light. He had a transcendent experience. He came back with the awareness of it. And he could not let it go. So he pursued it. And some do. Very few, but some, when they've had a transcendent experience or an epiphany, an awareness, awakening. But why is it so hard? Why is it so hard? Why is it so few? Because the container itself is constructed to be Mount Everest. The container is your trial. Your container, your physiology, your biology, your genetics, your memory programs are your trial. Do you value spirit? The trial is yourself. And it's a setup. You have to separate what is indigenous to the container as a trial to overcome. Think of people who are born with extreme handicaps, which we call handicaps. And they master those things and become amazing people. And you say, why? How? How do they do it? But they do it. And they become a powerhouse of inspiration for other people. So, in this way, the idea that enlightenment should be difficult, it's difficult because of our container and our relationship of identity with the container, the body, mind, and the five senses, and everything that it is programmed to do and be. And along with that, genetics, historic genetics. Some people come in and they have great handicaps from genetics. And yet, they overcome those handicaps and become a very productive, significant person. Now, I didn't say enlightened, I said productive and competent. Getting to the top of Mount Everest is not enlightenment, but it is the ability to use skills to conquer opposition. So if we don't have opposition, we don't value what we get, that we can understand as participating with consciously. Why, if somebody just waved a magic wand and everybody was enlightened, okay, that would be wonderful, would it? I mean, God power has the power. Why didn't God power wave the magic wand? And everybody suddenly would be enlightened. Be a nice experience, but there would be no sense of value over something else. If you don't value something, you don't protect it. You don't enjoy it fully because there is no value put on it. So the work towards enlightenment is a strange opposite. It's work not to work. It's work not to think you have to accomplish things. It's work to simply relax. It's work to simply smile. It's work to sit quietly. Be still. Be still. And know that I am God. Being still in a motion-oriented, faster and faster motion appreciation day is probably the next thing we'll have on the docket of days to celebrate. You're the fastest worker in your line on the, assembly line. You're the fastest, guy on the typewriter. You're the fastest person Oh, the fastest person on the Bonneville Salt Flats. Isn't that what those are about? Races? Everything is races, races, races. What's faster? What's brighter? Who can do it more, better, faster? And that's why you can't figure out why you can't relax. You were put in a body subject to the sympathetic nervous system fight and flight reactionalism as being the primal nerve trigger in your body. And so danger is, from the time you are born, you have an indigenous fear of falling. You have an indigenous fear of sharp noise. You have an indigenous fear of things. And as you go about trying to move your limbs as a baby and a child, the idea that you can hurt yourself is primary, forward and front. And your parents are priming you with that. Don't do that, that will hurt you. Don't touch the stove, it's hot. Da, 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 da. Don't go near the road, no, no. Don't go near the edge. Don't try and ride the bike without us. Nah. You see, everything is to accentuate your fear level of danger, that you're in danger. So you should be alert. Well, being alert doesn't mean going to sleep. Being alert doesn't mean sitting and relaxing. Why does somebody get all uptight and torqued when the boss is coming through the office and they've just been kind of sitting back in their chair and they've just kind of been, you know, sipping a cup of coffee, the boss comes by and they're alert and busy and they're pretending. Because relaxing isn't valued. Being relaxed is simply, there are laws against loitering. Now they're taking them off of the books in some places, but they're still on the books in other places. So a cop can arrest somebody who's sleeping on a park bench. They're loitering on a park bench. So when you think, can you imagine someone trying to build the pyramids, let's say the overseer, and there's one of the slaves that is loitering. Oh, really? What is a slave? Someone who is in bondage for service and existence. So the idea that you rest is going against the historic knowledge that rest is loitering. It's getting away with something. It's not doing something. It's getting away from something. You're getting away if you just are loitering, if you're just sitting. And smiling is even worse. Take that smile off your face. The slave smiling at the overseer as he loiters, Now, I want you to think really clearly here that historically you have been set up. And there's only one person that can get you out of that, and that's you. If you believe that you are a soul in a body that has usurped your attention from your soul, your body has usurped your attention from your soul. So what needs to be reconditioned? Your body responses. Your biological body has to be taught to loiter. Your biological body has to give up believing your senses. You have to give up what you have evolved into. Now you can blame anything and anybody you choose. It doesn't change the equation. If you aren't still, be still and know that I am God. If you're not still, tough tookies. If you aren't joyful, you're impeding your journey. If you're not open-hearted, you're not getting anywhere near the frequency of your soul. Sorry. That's just the way it is. So if we're not loving and open-hearted and joyful, you have an inalienable right to happiness. It's right in the Declaration of Independence. Why would you have an inalienable right to the pursuit of happiness? It didn't say being happy. It said the pursuit of happiness. You have the right to pursue happiness. It's a big deal. It's the biggest deal. If connection to Creator's love isn't a big deal, what is? It's a big deal. That's what enlightenment is about. It's not accomplishing a dang thing. It doesn't matter whether history recognizes you're enlightened or not. Are you going to do it so that your ego can get recognized? Oh, terrific. That's not enlightenment, for crying out loud. That's egoism. Why is it difficult to enlighten? Because you won't value it if you don't think it's difficult. That's just the beginning and the end of it. If it's not difficult, the ego mind will not let you pursue it. Being still, tell a little child to be still. Difficult. It's difficult, and it hasn't gotten any easier for you as an adult. So, here we are. The medal, the gold medal, is transcendence. And you can't transcend if you don't recondition your container. If you don't get your container under control. So you're being asked to master your container's propensities, genetics, training, karmas, etc. Oh, so simple and so challenging. And you won't do it if it's not a challenge. Because you've been handed the tools years and years ago. Once in a while, says Hafiz in his inimitable style, the fish and I will chat in the silent language. We look into each other's eyes and smile. And smile. And they often say, "Hey, Hafiz, we see you know the joy of our existence." We see you have discovered how meditation can free you from land, mind, debts, alimony, the whole works. And like us, let you carouse all day in God. Why did I bother to give a talk when Hafiz had written it so well? Okay. Hopefully it sinks in. Hopefully the idea that you have to remodel the container and your addiction to its pathologies, its addictions. As Master Kripal said, we're nothing but a collection of addictions and habits. And if we don't get over the habits and addictions, where are we? Waiting for an epiphany? Waiting to be struck blind on the road to Damascus? Waiting to fall off a cliff and watch your body fall down the mountain and be separate from it and realize you're not your body? Be laying on a gurney, being rushed to the hospital, and you're watching the whole scene from another dimension? Really? Do we have to go that far? Does it have to be that extreme? That we can't be still and smile? Once in a while, the fish and I will chat in that silent, silent language. We look into each other's eyes and smile. And they often say, "Hey, Hafiz, we see you know the joy of our existence." The joy of our existence. That's collective, our joy. Everyone's joy would be joy. Everyone's happiness, joy. We see you have discovered meditation can free you from land and mind and debts and alimony. The whole works. That means give it up. Your life ain't worth diddle if it doesn't lead to enlightenment. Which means there's only one job, relaxing, being joyful, being open-hearted, pursuing happiness.